to know the way you know. Let us walk the way you walk in the name of Jesus. For we are the children of the Most High God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Precious Holy Spirit, move upon every mind and every heart and every spirit. We believe so much in your ministry, and we know without you we can do nothing. Company with us, help us. And let everyone know that indeed we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for doing that. Lift up your two hands to God. Tell him how much you love him. you, Lord. Lift your hands and bless Him. Come on, bless the Lord, oh my God. Give Him praise and glory. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Amen. How many of us know the Lord is here? If you know the Lord is here, then you would act like it's true, because that's the truth. You will connect the anointing that is flowing through Him. Everywhere Jesus was, there was healing. Everywhere Jesus was, miraculous. So you have to connect your faith to the power of God here today. I believe, I've released my faith for everyone. I believe no one is going home the way you came, in Jesus' name. This morning, I wish I could say to you, be it unto you according to my faith. I wish I could say it, because my faith is so up for everyone that is here present. Hallelujah. And you have to jack up your own expectation to receive that which God has in store for you. Amen. I said amen. No one is going home the same. In the name of Jesus, everyone who has come to receive of the Lord is blessed indeed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Help welcome your brother, your sister to God's presence today. Say you welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated in God's presence and enjoy the touch of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Today, while I will be teaching, the Spirit of God will be touching people. Hallelujah. And as He touch you, just let Him touch you. Let Him do what He wants to do in your life. Just allow Him, as you sense Him touching you, directing your heart, your mind, just say, precious Holy Spirit, come on. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. How do you say it? Precious Holy Spirit, come on, go ahead. Amen. Praise God. Say it, let me hear you. Praise God. So as He ministers to you, just let Him touch you. Just let Him move in your heart, in your bodies, in your minds, in your emotions, in your will, in your spirit. Hallelujah. In your family, let Him move. Let Him touch you. Praise God. Second epistle of the Apostle Peter. The strangers who are scattered abroad. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's read Second Epistle of Apostle Peter, Second Peter chapter number 1. I would like us to read from verses 3 down to verse 10. And I want us to be very, very sensitive and open to the word of the Lord as the word of God comes to us. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. How many things? All things. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to unto life and godliness. Hallelujah. Now, that pertain to godly life, the original Greek says. Hallelujah. You know, it's in English that is divided into two, life and godliness. But if you read in the original manuscript in the Greek, it says godly life. The life of God. In other words, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to Zoe. Hallelujah. All things that pertain to godly life. All things that pertain to the nature of God. All things that pertain to living like God would live, acting like God would act, because of the life of God that we have received. Hallelujah. Say with your mouth, I have been given all things that pertain to godly life. Say it again, I have been given all things that pertain to godly life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now that's good news. Amen. Is that good news to you? It's good news to me that I have got all things that pertain to godly life. Amen. Praise God. So that means I can act like God would act. I can do things like God would do things, because I have been given all things that pertain to that godly life. Praise God. Through the knowledge of Him that had called us unto glory and virtue. Now, how did that come? It came through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus. When we came to know Him. In other words, when we came to know God through Him. Amen. We were given all things that pertain to praise the Lord. Now verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might, not we will. This is English language. There's no revelation here. Amen. It's just what? English language. That we might. We might what? Huh? Talk to me. That we might become the partakers of God's divine nature. Hallelujah. So that's why He has given us all things that pertain to that godly life. And then He has also given us His exceedingly great and precious promises. That we might. Not that we shall, or we should, or we will, but we might. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said praise the Lord. That means we have become partakers of His divine nature. Hallelujah. I said amen. I said amen. Now that nature grows and increases in quantity and impact and influence as we take time to meditate upon these exceeding and great and exceedingly great and precious promises. As we take time to meditate on these promises, we will see that God Himself has done this for us, has done that for us, and then we can appropriate these things and walk in the light of them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now let's read on. That's not where we're going. This is just a preface. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have escaped it. Hallelujah. I think it's not enough for us to just know the things that we have escaped. We also have to know the things that we have come into. It's not enough for you to know that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. It's not enough. It is good for you to know it, but it's not enough for you to just know that. You have to know that you have come into the blessing of Abraham. Because you see, most of the time, a lot of believers know the things that they have been redeemed from, but they don't know the things that they have been redeemed unto. It is when you begin to know that you have been redeemed unto these, then you begin to activate it. You set that in motion and set it rolling, set it running. You set it running. As you set it running, it begins to work for you. It begins to work for you. It's not just enough to know that Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. Yes, it's good to know, but it's not enough. You must know what you have been redeemed unto, and you must know the forces and the flows and the inheritances that are here present in the saints. Amen. You remember Ephesians chapter 1, start reading from verse 15, when Paul the apostle was praying for the Ephesians. Hallelujah. He prayed for them that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened for three purposes. Number one, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know what? The hope of his calling. What does that mean? The hope of his calling. What did God have in mind when he called you? What was his expectation when he called you? That should be our own expectation too. That we may know why he called us. Amen. Praise God. Now, a lot of people are saved now and they don't know why they got saved. And they don't know what was God's expectation when he saved them. So, you must come to a point in your life that you not only know the things that you have been redeemed from, you must also know the things you have been redeemed unto. You see, we have been redeemed from these things, but you see, if you don't know the things you have been redeemed unto, you cannot activate the blessing of God to begin to work for you. A lot of Christians, they are not cursed. The curse is not upon them. The challenge they have is that they are not activating the blessing. They are not doing anything about the blessing at all. So it looks like there are some traces of curses around them. They are not cursed. A man cannot be in Christ and be cursed, except the scripture can be broken. But the scripture cannot be broken. Amen. If any man be in Christ, a brand new man, it's that is settled. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. And generational curses are subsets of the curse of the law. Hallelujah. If you don't believe it, study Deuteronomy chapter 28. Start from verse 14 and 15 downwards. You realize that what you call generational curse is just a subset of the curse of the law. Huh? So it's not just enough to know, but it will be enough to know that you have been redeemed from some things, and also know the things that you have been redeemed unto. And our awareness, our consciousness must be built in the realm of that which we have been redeemed unto. In other words, that realm of light, realm of God life, or God kind of life. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Amen. So you see, we have received the divine nature. We have become partakers of the divine nature. Because there's no way we can partake of the divine nature without escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says, having escaped. Not that we are going to, we have escaped. The word corruption there stands for death, spiritual death. that which is anti-God, that which is contrary to the divine nature, that which is contrary to light, darkness. We have escaped it. Amen? Now, the awareness, look up and listen to me. The awareness of that which we have received is built in our hearts as we take heed to the promises of God. He's giving us what? Exceeding great and precious what? Promises. That by them we might. So having received this, walking like God would walk, life and godliness or godly life is entered into. You enter into that as you begin to develop your awareness in that which you have received. There is a book to tutor you concerning your faith. There's a book to tutor you concerning that which you have received. It's called the Bible. It is God's mind and God's light concerning who you are, concerning the person God has made you. You can't live a life that is alien to the Bible and then discover who you are. You can't live to your fullest. You cannot maximize your life when you do not study the Word of God to see and know that this is who you are and this is the way you ought to function. You did not recreate yourself in Christ. God did. And then He recreated you and made you a new man so you can know that you are a new man indeed. And so the Bible points our attention to the fact that this is who you are now. You are not that. This is who you are. So I will say that with my mouth to educate myself in the realm of divine light. I am whom God says I am. I am not that. I have escaped the corruption that is in this world through loss. I have become a partaker of the divine nature. I have. And that is the essence of schooling. Some things you did in primary one, you repeated in primary two. And then they added some other things to it. And then primary three, and then they added some other things to it, just to keep reminding you. And then right now, the educated ones, you know, you think in a particular way. Because over time, you have been schooled and inclined to think that particular way. So you've been thinking that way. Why? Because you have been schooled by that which is called Western education. In the same vein, you are schooled in the Word of God as you come to church. Hallelujah. Church is a school of the Spirit. A lot of us don't know that church is a school. It's a school where the Holy Ghost resides to teach people, His children, to shed light upon our heart that this is who we are now. So as you come to church, don't just come to church casually. Come to church with an understanding that you have come into a school. You have enrolled into a school. The school of the Spirit. The very day you got born again, you entered into that school. It's called the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit Himself is resident in this school to teach. He teaches through men, anointed by Him. Jesus, when He ascended on high, led captivity captives, He gave gifts unto men. To some He gave to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the maturing of the saints, perfecting of the saints. It's a school. And in the church, there are primary schools. There are secondary schools and there are tertiary institutions. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you see, even in the church, as many as we are, we know some that are still in the primary school. Some are still carrying slates. How many of us use slates? Amen. I use slates. Amen. Some of you were so, you know, used to carry one big slate then. But if they don't give us sweets, we won't go to school. Praise God. And thank God for slates. Then we started learning and then we started writing on paper using pencils. And then from pencil we graduated to using biro. Alright? Praise God. So that's the way it is. And I believe in every school, there is a teacher and there's a curriculum. There's a teacher, there's a curriculum, and there are students. And in every school, the students must have notebooks. Amen. When you go for lectures, do you go with your notebooks? Good. That means every one of us must have a Bible, and we must have a writing pad. You see, when people come to church and stroll into church, they are not serious. A serious-minded believer can't stroll into church. Church is not where you stroll in. Serious-minded students stroll into lecture rooms. They just sit at the back, what is he saying? And then they leave. But you see, the serious-minded student, the unserious-minded, the serious-minded student will come in and sit down. They know they've come to learn. They come in, they sit down. Some of them have their text beside them. Some have their writing pads there beside them, and they write. Some have like two or three kinds of biros, particularly the law students. There are cases that are, precedents or precedences, as the case may be, that they have to write in what? In red biro. So that they can distinguish between what is in red and what is in what? In blue or black, as the case may be. They're observant because they know they have come to learn. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift up your writing pad. I know, let's assume everybody came with a Bible. Let's just assume. Amen. Lift up your writing pad. Lift it up. High above your head. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. See, the teacher that the Holy Spirit has anointed now is now moving around to investigate. Now, let me give you an instance. This is one writing part, this is another one. What is the purpose of writing? It's so you can save and what? Store up knowledge. If you have writing pads, they must go into your archives. All right? If you put this in water, mistakenly, if it drops into water, and then this drops into water at the same time, and you pick them up, maybe in a minute's time. Hallelujah. Which one will get spoiled first? This one. Right? Why? Because you see, sensitive knowledge cannot be stored in things like this. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You must go for a hard cover. Something, having written all through, you can keep it in your archive. You bring out another one, you keep it in your archive. You can consult with your materials over the years and see the trend of God's dealings in your life. Amen. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, it doesn't cost too much. I know some of us who can afford a meal of 500 naira. At a sitting. And I don't think that hardcover is as expensive as that. Hallelujah. Now what am I saying? In a school, you have to come with an understanding that you have come to learn. Church is not a place you must be on Sunday mornings. Church is a school you must attend to equip you for life and godliness. To prepare you to face the challenges of life. Listen very carefully. There is no natural institution where men are taught the basics of how to stand up and confront the challenges of life. In any of our lecturers, how many of them have taught us in our classes how to cast out demons? Are there demons? Do people face challenges in life? How many of us have been taught in our schools, in our institutions,
how to handle marital crisis. Hello? It's only the church that is actually preparing. You see, career, profession and all that, thank God for all those. They are good. But there are some successful entrepreneurs who have made money and made name, but their family is in shambles. They are not doing fine maritally. Why? Because they have not learned in that realm. All they know is how to make money, how to set up a business, how to, you know, publicize your business and things like that. But they have not been taught how to handle a woman, a wife, children, how to relate with your wife. They don't know that. You see, the practical basic knowledge about running our lives for outright and complete success comes through this institution. The body of Christ is a school. Faith is taught us here. We understand faith that when we face challenges in life, it is a time that God wants to reveal His glory. We are not to give up. When they face challenges in life there, you know what they do? Outside the church, they commit suicide. They die. They are hopeless. I mean, these are successful people in the world, in their careers and professions. Yet you see them commit suicide. Why? Because the basic knowledge that they ought to get for life and godliness has not been doled out to them. And that's what the church does. To equip people for all-round success. That's what the Bible calls what? Good success. Let someone say good. Let me give you an instance. Someone who can afford 60 cars. And then right before his own eyes, his son is dying and he can't do anything. He can afford 60 cars. He can afford to buy this whole neighborhood. But there's sickness in his body. They have to fly him abroad and there's nothing he can do about it. Flying him abroad, the doctors say, okay, we are recommending another person for you, another specialist. And then he goes there and then they just fly him all around. He's got all the money to spend, but he does not know why that thing is happening to him. He does not have spiritual insight. You see, life goes beyond having money. God wants to bless his children. There's nothing wrong with having money, all right? But you see, success, it goes beyond having money. Success goes beyond, you know, influence in the society, being a successful person in your career and profession. God wants his children to get that. There's nothing wrong with that. But it goes beyond that. Amen. Let me give you an example. A professor of law that demonic powers and principalities have charged to their court to answer a case in his dream. This is someone who is very verbose, outspoken, naturally. He can quote cases, but in the dream, he's just there looking like that. He can't say anything. Because you see, what matters in that realm is not in him. You see the difference? Huh? What matters in that realm is not in him. So a church is not some people take schools, natural schools, serious, more seriously than church, attending church. I don't mean you should not be serious with academics and all that. It's good, be serious. It's God's will. But you see, your seriousness in church must be much more. Exceedingly, abundantly, much more. Hallelujah. Because this is the institution where you are equipped for life and godliness. This is the house of God, the ground and the pillar of truth, where you are taught and schooled and groomed, and you are balanced, you are prepared for life. Yes, you are doing well professionally, you are also sound spiritually. This is someone who is a CEO of a multinational company, can still cast out devils. I'm telling you. Can still cast out devils. Still praise in tongues. Still sound. Can still discern. The Lord is speaking to me. Why? Because this is balanced understanding. This is what is called good success. And that's what we come to church to get. Good what? Success. Good one. Hallelujah. You see that? Let someone say, good success. Say it again. Say it again. I remember there was a time the Lord said to me, son, sit down and I will teach you how to succeed. Amen. How to succeed. Yesterday, during Stewart's meeting, we were talking about success. What is success? It is sufficiency in all things. Hello? What is success? It's what? Sufficiency in all things. That's success. It's not just being a millionaire, a multi-millionaire, and then the person is in his Jeep, and everybody is admiring him. Oh, look at that wealthy man. But he's thinking about how he's going to commit suicide. He's not just an influential man that is up there as a role model to many people. Whereas, he's frustrated on the inside. He's flat. Complete success, good success, is when you have the power of God to meet all needs in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. But you see, most of the time, we have conditioned success to just the body alone. It goes beyond money. It goes beyond health. When you are succeeding, your spirit is doing well. You are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. You have intimacy with God. That's your spirit prospering. Your soul is doing well. Your mind and imagination is not under the siege of the wicked one. There are some people, they look like they are bold on the outside, but on the inside, they are afraid. All kinds of naughty thoughts cross their minds. Some wear trousers and look like men on the outside, but on the inside, there is no stamina. That's not success. So you see, good success is when we have the word living and abiding in us. We are doing well spiritually. We are doing well in our soul. We are doing well in our body. Our body is strong, healthy. We have enough money to meet our needs. We have enough power of God flowing in our lives to meet spiritual needs. Because more often than not, the needs that confront men are spiritual. They may present themselves as physical, but if you look behind, you will see that the source is what? Spiritual. Spiritual. Hallelujah. That is what? Success. You see that? Hallelujah. That's success. So before you call someone a success, you must look at the person's life first and foremost. Amen. Let me give you an instance. A millionaire or a multi-billionaire who has so much money and has about 20 wives and all the children are wayward is not a success. He's a failure on display. All right? A failure on what? On display. It's not a success. So before you define that, all right, all the children are wayward. Some are smoking Indian hemp. And some sniffing cocaine. They steal his cars. Steal his millions. Yet he has so much. Is that a success? No. When he leaves the scene, guess what is going to happen? I know you know what is going to happen. What is going to happen? Huh? Talk to me, come on. Guess what is going to happen when he leaves the scene? What is going to happen? Huh? Do you understand that now? That you see, the church prepares you for life. Really, it prepares you for life. The church. So don't take church for granted. Some who attend church casually and the church attendance is, you know, fluctuating, undulating, that person has not known the challenges of life. When you begin to see the challenges of life indeed, you will know that your institution has not really prepared you. That institution you call university or polytechnic, whatever it is, has not really prepared you for life. It is the church that really prepares us for life. Notice what Paul told Timothy. He says, from your youth, you have what? Known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is in church that we have enough wisdom to deal with issues of life. Let me give you an instance. There are some people, just with one little anger like this, they are built for 25 years, they have forfeited. That's not wisdom. Just little anger. Because if they have been instructed by the word of God, they will know that anger lies where? In the bosom of a fool. Do they tell you that in school? So I don't take Bible lightly. I don't take church lightly, because I know what I am today is not a result of just coming out with a first class or, you know, being an excellent student. It goes beyond that. It is the knowledge of the word of God. There's nothing wrong succeeding in your academics. It's all right. It's God's will. There's nothing wrong excelling in your professions and career. It's all right. It's God's will. All right? So don't say, well, I don't want to excel there. That's not success too. You can't be speaking in tongues and then fire is coming out of your mouth. Your shoes are inclined at a critical angle. That's not success. Hello? So we have to balance this thing. It's not. God wants us to have all-round success. But it starts with the word of God. And that's where we are going. Praise God. Let's quickly run down or run through these scriptures. Is somebody getting blessed? I'm just enjoying this word. It's blessing me. Praise God. Say, Holy Spirit. Come on. Go ahead. Good. Whereby, verse 4, 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse 4. Whereby, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. And beside these, amen, yes, you have become a partaker of the divine nature. Now, listen to what the Apostle Peter is saying by the Spirit of God. Amen. Beside this, you know, a lot of people stop there. Now, if you stop there, you will not get into the fullness that God has in store for you. Beside this, hallelujah, giving all what? Diligence. And beside this, giving all diligence. How much diligence? How much? How much? Giving all diligence. Now look up. What does it mean to give all diligence? You have to understand what that means. If you have to eat in the morning and you want to give all diligence to see to it that you eat. If the gas cooker isn't working or you've run out of gas, you use stove. If you've run out of kerosene, you go and look for wood in the neighborhood. You have to eat. You must give what? 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 That's what it means. I'm just bringing it to you in a way you understand. All right? And then you look around in the neighborhood, there's no wood. You travel from that neighborhood to another to look for wood. Because you must eat. That's what? That is what? That is what? That is what? That's all diligence. Not some. You weren't feeling fine. You must come to church to listen to the word of God. You weren't feeling fine. And you felt like you might sleep beyond the hour or the time meant for you to come to church. So what do? You go and sleep with your friend or in your friend's house who can wake you up. And even if you are feeling so weak in your body that you can't come that way, but you can still listen, you can still hear, you tell your friend to carry you to church. Hello? Someone says, ah! Show later, you know, let you buy in law. Giving what? Not some. Some of you, when you want something, you know how far you could go to get it. That this is what I want, and I don't want any other thing. And then you go for it. I remember then when my mom used to, during Christmas, she would want to sew clothes for me. She would sew a coat for me. I actually needed a suit. So when you wear the thing, and then the thing, this one will be here. Praise God. I said, okay, it's better just go and wear your atibuba or shukutu ati, whatever, what they call it. Amen. Other than wearing that, praise God. So I said, I this is what I want. She didn't understand what I actually wanted. She didn't know it. So I had to travel from Egbeda to the island to get a tailor who understands my language. Giving what? All diligence. And when he was done with it, hey, she saw it and I said, do you see the difference? She said, yes. I thought you could just put on something and, no, it's not something. Praise God. Giving what? All diligence. For some, they wrote jam like 3 or 4 times because they knew what they wanted. And on the 4th time, bam, they hit it. Giving what? All diligence. Now, I'm just explaining to you so that you can understand what all diligence means. Some people, they say, well, I have tried. Who is measuring you? I don't know where you brought your own stick from. And then you're measuring yourself. Saying, who is telling you that? Amen. Has God come to you, son? You have tried. Giving all diligence. You have to understand what that word means. Giving all diligence. All. Not some. Because you see, the truth is, if you don't give all diligence, there cannot be substantial addition in your life. Substantial addition. Someone who is studying the word of God, for example, and is dozing. Let me just sleep. It's like, I want to sleep. And then you sleep. You slept the first day. You slept the second day. You slept the third day. 1 week. 2 weeks. 3 weeks. 4 weeks. 1 month. First month. Second month. The third month. The first quarter. Now this is, we have entered the first quarter of this year, right? Today is the first of what? March 2009. Not 2008. 2009. You can't backdate it. And if you don't give all diligence, there cannot be substantial addition in your life. And besides this, giving all diligence, before you can add to your faith virtue, what do you have to do? You must give what? All diligence. And that's why you see a lot of Christians who are born again. Born again 5 years ago. Born again 10 years ago. And then you see someone who is born again. He's born again just some 2 months ago. And he's already ready to pastor a church. He's sound. He's doing well. And then you say, stretch out your fingers. Stretch out your fingers. You know, the fingers are not equal. Fingers are not equal. Some people say it in Yoruba. Is that true? Did he say, and beside this, looking up to God, so you can add to your faith virtue? Is that what the Bible says there? It says, giving all diligence. I remember a course that I did then. I told my buttocks, sit down until you get all the details in this book. You're not standing up. If you don't understand everything that is here, you are not eating. The only thing I will just do for you, you will take water. And that you will take enough until you get this thing. The body thought I was playing. I have this body. I put this body under. I'm giving all diligence. Amen. When I was in secondary school, after school, I will go for lessons, and after lessons, I will come back home, and I will take Gary, because at night, and as usual, you always take Eba. We used to take Eba. So I will take Gary, and having taken Gary, just something light, because I would read for 2 hours every day. I was in secondary school. 2 hours every day. There was one of our lecturers then, he was talking when we were in, I think, SS1. He was talking, and he was talking about hydrocarbons, ketones, and all that. I was at SS1, I was done with Ababu. I've read everything. I was reading 2 hours every day. So he was talking, I was just smiling. You see, don't generalize in the class. So. There are some people who are ahead of other students. Don't generalize. I was just looking at the man. He said everything. He said ketones, IDI, and all that. So I know most of some of you here, in fact, most of all of you here don't know that and all that. You know? And then he looked in my direction. I said, I know, sir. He said, really? He said, yes. He gave me the chalk. He said, come and draw the structure of glucose. I just smiled. Bam, 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 bam. I just finished everything there. I said, who taught you? I said, I read it. Since then, he did not generalize. I wrote GC, then SS1. I had A1 in chemistry. Regular diligence. 2 hours, I'll take Gary. He said, I will eat ever. I will read. I will read. You will sleep. Don't deceive yourself. Be not mocked. God is not. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Scripture quote there. Amen. Praise God. So people, that's when the balance will fufu. 6 raps. I will read. And I read. You say you now. I was just meditating. You were sleeping. You were dozing. I stayed with a brother like that too, you know, in my room. The brother never slept at once. All through the time, you know, we were together. He would be snoring like this. And then he said, bro, you have to read. I was meditating. You were snoring. You weren't meditating. So he got to a day, you know, during his birthday. They were now passing comments, different people. I said, I have a comment to pass. This brother is kerosene. He doesn't sleep. Kokinsu, kerosene. In a loud. You know, you had this CSC background. You know, CSC pastors don't sleep. How many of us know? When you wake them up, like they're shaking their legs. Like say, Meosu, Mongba revelation. You were sleeping. You were sleeping. Amen. Giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. See, for some of us here, we have so much on the inside of us than people can see on the outside right now. But we are not diligent at all. Amen. With spiritual things, even academic things. Mm-mm. You say, well, I'm too busy. I attended church so much. You know, the church services have been so packed up. That's why I could not read. That's not true. Hello? That is not true. When I was pastoring, we'd have ESCO meetings. I'll move from UJCM meetings, Committee of Pastors, COP. I'll come into my ESCO meetings. Sometimes we'll spend 4 hours at COP. I'll move to ESCO meeting, we'll spend 3 hours, 7 hours. Sometimes we'll start 8 p.m. and then my day, I'm coming back from 8 p.m. Sometimes I'm coming back 6. Sometimes 4, sometimes 5. I will still sit down, do my assignments, and ESCO members in the same class, they will go to sleep. And then when 30 minutes to the time we're going to submit, they will come and do. So they were wondering. I coordinated the meeting. They sat down. I was doing the shouting. I was running around. I was jumping. Praise God. I should be tired, more tired, but giving all diligence. Hallelujah. Giving what? All diligence. All. Let somebody say all. You see, for you to have substantial additions in your life, you must give all diligence. Now, diligence involves two things, basically, but I will explain those two things. Diligence involves consistency and fervency. Hallelujah. Consistency and what? Fervency. There must be that bite. You must tear up yourself. Sometimes there's a tendency for you to want to kind of withdraw within. And just withdraw within. You must tear up yourself and say, I take this thing, I do it. I do this thing in the name of Jesus. I read in the name of Jesus. And you pick that book and go to a place that even when you are dozing, you stand up, you move around, you can put on the touch of your set reading. Why? Because you are giving all diligence. You remember when Jerry Savelle was sharing his experience in following the footsteps of a prophet? Right, he was sharing his experience there when he was studying. He started studying. He was just he had just been called into the ministry, so he started studying the Word of God. There are times he would sit down in his study at his desk there, and he would be dozing, He said to himself, "If I continue this way, I won't amount to anything." No. So he stood up from there, and then he said to his body, "Body, you cannot put me under. I put you under." And then went to the bath, the edge of the bath. Stood on that part, that edge there. And stood and said, "You doze now. You break your head." And then opened his Bible. He said, "Ah, show later." And that casual attitude is what makes smallness out of people. People who have a tendency to become so big and huge and great, accomplishing feats for God. They are just there as dwarfs doing nothing. Big babies, liabilities. Why? It's just because they will not take up the challenge. Giving all diligence, not some. God has to attest to the fact that you are giving all diligence. God himself must witness to you that you are giving all diligence. Hallelujah. You know, my wife was asking me a question. You know, anytime she serves me, you know, soup and amala and something, and she will say, "How does it taste?" I say, "Tastes good, tastes fine." He said, "No, tell me something. I know it's good, but tell me, do I have to improve in one area or the other?" I said, "This part, that part." I said, "Good. The next time I will taste it, it will be better." That's diligence. For some people, they just put it before their husband. Be there. Let him eat. Let him eat. And then you touch the amala like this, all kinds of cocoa and in it. What God has joined together,
We're married forever. You just have to take me the way I am. No, you have to change. You must change. You must improve. I took you the way you were when I married you. If you remain the same, it's a crime. You must change. Hello? You must. Praise God. Giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Sometimes your body wants to just sit down there and just keep enjoying like that. You jack up that body. You pull up that body. And say, in the name of Jesus, I know when to rest. This is not a time to rest. This is a time to what? To work. If it's time for church and then that's when you are dozing, it's time for church. I'm going. I would rather get to church and when I'm dozing, the brother is helping me out than to stay at home and doze off. There was the last service you attended, God dealt with something in your life. And every service you come for, there is a continuation of what God did. So if you play truancy, you miss that divine process of training. And that's why some people come out being bad products. When it's time and opportunity for them to fit into their destiny, they begin to recommend some other people. Why don't you get in there? You go in. I can't go in there. Why? Because at that time that God was taking them through that training, they did not really avail themselves of the opportunity. The Bible says, Jotham, I like that scripture, became mighty. By coincidence? No. Why? Because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. Giving all diligence. When it comes to studying the Word of God, you must have a study pattern. You must have a study schedule. You must write out, this week I'm studying this book, and this is how I'm going to go about it. Today I'm going to study this chapters 1 to 2. Next, tomorrow, a day after. You schedule it that way, and then you exercise yourself in faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, you use your faith daily to exercise yourself in godliness. I'm going to finish this textbook today. I'm going to finish this textbook this month. Diligence. You can't afford to sit down and cross your arms. No. Things will pass you by. Don't do that. You have to jack up yourself. When it's time for worship, you see some people, that's when they begin to, you know, you jack up yourself, you worship. You see, you must be involved. It's not all the time that when the Spirit moves and then that's when you are shaking. Woo, I enjoyed it. Glory to God. The next time you have to do it by faith. Amen. Diligence. Consistency and what? Fervency. Now notice here that even if you are reading 1 hour academic materials, 1 hour every day, and you are consistent, do you know you are going to make so much out of it? Huh? Or you read 10 hours today, the next 3 months, no reading. During exam, crashing. I'm a crash, and glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the mercy of God has been covering up for you. Alright? But if you despise the mercy of God so long, His judgment is what you will see. Don't do that. Don't do that. 1 hour every day. Two hours every day. Discipline yourself. I remember a pastor was sharing with me. He said he has been reading all out of the 66 books of the Bible. When it comes to read Ephesians, that's when he does it. When he's Ephesians chapter 1, he begins to do. He said, he got to a time, he just came to his awareness that there's something God wants me to know here that the devil does not want me to know. And then he said, in the name of Jesus, devil, you can't stop me from reading Ephesians. And then he said to the Lord, I will read Ephesians on my knees. I'm going to kneel down and read Ephesians on my knees. And then he found a rough surface and knelt down there
and opened the Bible and was reading Ephesians, and he saw that he did not doze. He said when he was done with Ephesians and he read from chapters 1 to 6, that was the beginning of explosion in his ministry. You know, this pastor that used to come for KLC from Kwara. Huh? Because there was something the Spirit of God wanted to show him, the wicked one never wanted him to know it. So anytime he wants to read, that's when we'll be dozing. So he went on his knees and knelt down and began to read Ephesians. You see, there are some of us, you have to break yourself away from whatsoever is holding you back. You have to break yourself away from it and give all diligence. When the Apostle Peter started, he didn't start with, you know, his shoulder, healing the sick and all that, but diligence. Hours of prayer, word, diligence, preach the word, word, prayer, fellowship with God, obedience, word, diligence, started making progress. And then he got to a time that the power of God was so much in his life that his shadow meant something to the sick. I met a young man, very brainy. Just by speaking with that man, you know that this man is an embodiment of brain. Very brainy. Intelligent. But if you look at his life, you can't find intelligence at all. Why? Because he's not diligent. So at that same level of intelligence as a potential that he was when he was born, he has maintained that level of intelligence up to that time. He has not developed. And I was looking at someone who surpassed geniuses in history. No diligence. He looks for the easiest path. The easiest path. You know the easiest path. And eat. Sleep, party around. If he can't catch his phone, there's no sense in it. All right? But there are some things that you're not catching your phone, but you know you're making progress. And when you have gotten to where you want to be, you can now catch your phone and say, yes, I want to visit Obudukatu Ranch. And you just tell an airline operator, say the whole aircraft, I don't want any other passenger, just myself, my wife and my kids, Obudukatu Ranch. And then you land there, you can enjoy yourself, do whatever you want to do, recreate and recline as the case may be. Praise God, because there's time for everything under heaven. Amen. Time. Let someone say time. Say it again. Say it again. It is good for a young man to bear his yoke in the days of his youth. To be disciplined and do what he ought to do. Because you get to a level whereby you enter into your harvest. The things that you have labored for. The things you have done, if you have been sowing the word of God into your spirit constantly, it will come back to you. It comes to a time that you just sit back like these scriptures will begin to pour out of your spirit, edifying you, strengthening you, because you've taken time to put them there. God actually sent me this morning to deal out a heavy divine blow against every spirit and yoke of laziness that has made some of us the way we are. Hallelujah. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith. In fact, don't worry about what is going to be added. Alright? You just give all diligence in the right direction. And then you find out that there will be additions. Every day something is added to you. Every day. For some of us, you know, after first degree, some people become more stupid than they used to be before they enter the university. True of us. You ask them questions, what are you saying? I should give you a slap. After first degree, you see people, they don't read again. They thought that university is when you enter and you just books. And when you are done with that, you don't have any business with books again. It's just business. Some people don't read and their mind comes back to that zero level. When they talk, they are vomiting terrible things. You want to close your ears. And this is a graduate who is sounding stupid. It's not right. That you have graduated and then, is that all about book? And is that the end to books or reading books? You still have to develop yourself. Read. Study. Alright? You're studying your Bible. You're studying Christian literatures and materials. You're studying things concerning your career. You are learning. You see, commit things to memory. Don't want to bother my thank God. I have graduated. So, nothing to commit to memory again. He said, what did you say 2 minutes ago? Come again. The person says, come again. Come again. maybe we should schedule the meeting for another time when your brain has calmed down. Abba. Diligence. At 80, amen, Kenneth E. Egan of blessed memory, his brain, the schedule he started out with at 28:30, he maintained all through. He was studying, an old man like that at 80, still studying 8 hours every day. The last time I met my father, I visited with my father before he went to be with the Lord, I still saw books. My dad. You remember when my dad came to your house? He dazzled every one of them, an old man. Sound mind, quotations and all that. They were just listening. They listened for 1 hour. He was talking. When he was traveling, he still held his books. Old Paul, he said, please, when you are coming, bring my parchments. Diligence. Now don't tell me that there's something affecting your mind. There's nothing. It's your laziness that's affecting your mind. We have been delivered from the evil one. Amen. If you jack up yourself now and say, devil, it's enough is enough in my life. You are not going to influence my mind wrongly again. In the name of Jesus, I take my place. You will see, we'll leave you alone. He says, put up a resistance against the devil and he will be looking at you. Is that what your Bible says? He will flee. The Bible says he will flee. Another translation says he will run as though in terror. Because he's a fearful one. If you give him a place, he will have it. If you say, no, I am not giving you again, he leaves it. So don't say, the devil, he's the devil, he's the devil scattering my life, he's the devil doing this. No, it's not as powerful as that. Take your place. Hallelujah. Have you got something today? Let's leave us with this. Amen. Precept upon precept. You know what we had it. You can read up the whole scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I believe you still love me for preaching this way. Amen. I said hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet in the name of Jesus. Giving all diligence. Not some, all. Let someone say all. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Giving all diligence. All diligence. All diligence. All diligence. Now you are going to talk out in the name of Jesus. You know where you have been, you know, relaxing. Is it in the studying of the Word of God? Is it in pursuing that dream that God has put in your spirit?
Is it in doing what God has called you to do? Whatever it is that you are relaxing in that realm or area where you are relaxing, it's time for you to talk in the name of Jesus. You call your name, Shagun. You walk in this in the name of Jesus. I shake up the beast into the fire in the name of Jesus. I am strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going out there to make a difference for Jesus. I'm going out there to reveal the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Pray with all diligence. Pray with all diligence. Speak out from your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Palana mako sebre de clane masha da basa. Combrona de cote si pacade glaboste se froide deisa. Ingramanane le coste. I move on. Kisamaneke tolanest. I make progress. Libra de coste se froide. I take hold of everything that God has in store for me. In the name of Jesus. I'm not sluggish. In the name of Jesus. From henceforth, I shake up the beast into the fire. Speak. Talk from your spirit. Talk from your heart. Come on. Talk from your heart in the name of Jesus. Talk from your spirit. Talk from your heart. Bangre de bo si calabayande de bo coso de bonon de le gaza. Combro non mashangelende le bo coso non ongo. Ambo goloshe balange de desi cabonde le boco. Zubarabale nege de bo golo de bo coso de bro de gladesh. Engrama sapocone le bro de kite sepocola. Sheptopom nege de septopoke de gladesh. Grondo bo seke nele branana mahase gedesh. Conde le bo sepocone gladesh. Reba sapta pokore gledoste kregeresi inga magare do sobogonde le broste zambrado koto se pokore gledoste reba sazazama kere de bokonde prodosta rema sokonde le broste supre de gledoste imbrana massa kore gredesce kere de bossa gengranga gamando rododo sokonde le broste pa ade kere Jesus. You are making lazy man. You're not a lazy woman in the name of Jesus. You rebuke every slothfulness in the name of Jesus. You come on into that which God has in store for you. Komba zepto boshi garamande, roba saba kele bororo bosha, engrama sono lo bokonde le basha, presso cobra le rekende de bosi, banglano okonde le bosham bredesa. Zubalo le bokananam nasi, konde le bosha balabadorosa, engra da basa. Senene makola brade de bosharaba engre de bosse de hanga bokonde le boshamborodos imbra la bakonde de bande le kona ne mosi arabala badabadaba embro de bosse kenene yembrada eshambaka unto diligence in the name of Jesus. Exercise my body unto diligence. In the name of Jesus, I exercise my mind unto diligence. In the name of Jesus, I exercise my emotion unto diligence. In the name of Jesus, I exercise my spirit unto diligence. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Shake up the beast into the fire. Refuse to be slothful. Refuse to be sluggish. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Stretch forth your two hands to God right now. I want to declare the word of God over your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. I decree that this month you make remarkable progress in God's will in the name of Jesus. I decree this month you advance on every ground in the name of Jesus. I decree this month you store, you are sent up high, you excel in the name of Jesus. Is someone here charged up, ready to receive? Are you charged up, ready to receive? Are you charged up, ready to receive? Is your faith up? Is your faith up? Are you ready? 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 Receive the power of grace and glory to make progress. To make progress. You advance. You advance. You advance. You advance in God's will, in God's plan, in the name of Jesus. Are there hungry people here today? No more shall men call you small. No more shall men call you small. You enlarge, you increase. In the name of Jesus. Every feeble knee is strengthened in the name of Jesus. Every feeble knee is strengthened in the name of Jesus. From henceforth, you shall not make progress according to the order of man any longer. But you move at the speed of light. You move at the speed of light. You move at the speed of light. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord your God lifts you up. The Lord your God lifts you up. In the name of Jesus. Imagine. The best in you is imagine. The best in you is imagine. I see the excellence in you coming out. The excellence in you coming out is coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. The excellence in you is coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out. You are not a mediocre. You are not a mediocre. You are not an average. You are not an average. You are an excellent person. The excellence in you is coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out. In the name of Jesus. You are born upon the wings of the eagles. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I want you to pray right now. You pray in tongues for the next 10 minutes and shake up the beast into the fire. Laziness, whatever it is, oversleeping, shake it off. You are a child of the living God. Eternal life is within you. Shake it off. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth. Pray. Shake it up. Jesus. I want you to say these words in confession diligently. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to make provision for laziness. I refuse to make provision for the flesh. I refuse to be sluggish. I refuse to be slack. In the name of Jesus, I am fervent. In the name of Jesus, I am fervent. In the name of Jesus, I make progress in the will of God for my life. In the name of Jesus, I do well. In the name of Jesus, I excel. In the name of Jesus, I walk in good success. Hallelujah! 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 If you believe that, shout a big hallelujah! Rejoice!